So tonight I want to talk about how the Eightfold Path leads us through life, can lead us through every moment of it. I just want to read what went into the email that I sent to let you know the topic for this week. As we progress through life, we encounter all sorts of events that affect us in all sorts of ways. The Eightfold Path leads us confidently on through it all. No matter how we suffer in response to events, beyond both fortune and the emotion it causes, is the open awareness that holds it all, the realm of the Dharma. The path can guide us to this awareness each moment, whatever that moment holds. That open, accepting awareness that isn't ruffled by material things, the coming and going of material things. It's not even ruffled by our emotions. No matter how upset and how crazy we are, that open, accepting awareness remains unflustered. This totally accepting, and in that acceptance, loving awareness. So what that has to do with the Eightfold Path is that's how we get there. That's how we keep aware of awareness. And there are eight folds to the path. They're kind of up over my head at the moment. I really wish there was a picture or a video of this. I'm, you know, sprouting the Eightfold Path from the top of my head. And the Eightfold Path is divided into three, I call them aspects. The first one is wisdom. And this consists of understanding and intention. And very often people put the word right in front of each one of the eight folds. I prefer the word wise, because there isn't a wrong. There may be an unwise or a less than perfectly wise, but I think what the Dharma is about is the wise one of these things. And the wise understanding is basically the Four Noble Truths and the fact that there's a cause and effect relationship to it all. It's called karma. But the Four Noble Truths are that, well, they boil down to the fact that it's about suffering. It has to do with our not being satisfied. We're just not happy campers. And there's a reason for that, and that is that we cling to things and events. It's as if there are three levels to our experience. There's the material, the thing part of it. So I develop this relationship of clinging to things. And then there's the level of that feeling, that realm of the feelings that I have if this thing that I've come to depend on, to, you know, really want to have, if it's not there, then I'll have an emotional reaction. And very often, you know, we correctly recognize that that's suffering. Sometimes we say, well, people are suffering because terrible things are happening to them. I like to think of that as pain, that pain is inevitable. It's going to happen. The suffering is optional. But then there's the third level, which is just that open and accepting awareness where the stool comes and goes, the good and bad events happen and pass away and are forgotten very often, and the storm and drong that the emotional response that came along with it, that arises and passes away too. And the open awareness is just always there. The teachings of the Buddha often refer to the deathless, the unconditioned. That awareness is not dependent on any conditions, anything, any event. So when we look at suffering, we're looking at that part of the experience of emotion that comes from that clinging. And understanding this is wise understanding. And the intention that's wise is to end the suffering. So that's it. That's the wisdom. It's about suffering. And we have this wholesome intention to end it. And we think that the intention might be to end it in my life. Or maybe it's more honorable to have the intent to end it in somebody else's life or all other people. But it can't be separated. Because that idea of I'm in here and everything else is out there is an illusion. There isn't a me. That open and accepting awareness doesn't, it's not Rebecca. It's not Ronald. It's not Paul. It's all beings have this open and accepting awareness. And whatever they're aware of just arises in it. So there is no separation. What I think of as me is just sort of the memory, the accumulation of all that's come in and passed away. So this intention to end suffering is for all beings. Now the second aspect of the Eightfold Path we call ethics, and it has to do with, you know, following through on this intention to end suffering. And so we watch, we're careful with what is caused, you know, karma, by our speech or our physical actions, or the way that we deal with money. That literally it says livelihood, but it's an issue even for people who are completely unemployed, retired or disabled or whatever, because it has to do with the way that you deal with money, how we interact economically with other beings. And so the ramifications to the whole planet, I think, are pretty clear if we're locally here in California, if we're wasting water, that's going to have an impact on this part of the planet. If we're conducting ourselves in a way that contributes to the extinction of other species, that can have quite a huge impact. So it's speech, actions, and livelihood. And it's not about being a good person, but just being aware of this interrelationship of what we think of as self and other. And then the third is probably what you're primarily engaged in with the Dharma, and that is practice. In the West here, we have things kind of turned backwards. Most people come to Buddhism because they think meditating is going to make their lives more pleasant. And it does that for, you know, kind of side effect reasons. But in the long run, it'll make it much more pleasant in ways that newcomers can't even imagine. So that gets divided into effort, mindfulness, and concentration. And you all know what mindfulness and concentration are, right? Concentration is just being able to keep your attention somewhere for the time being. And mindfulness is knowing whether or not you're paying attention, to put it one way. My favorite is effort, because it's not just giving it enough of a nudge to make it happen, but also, how do you use that effort? What is the goal? What are you aiming at? And wise effort traditionally comes in four parts. It appears a little redundant when you do it that way. So I'll use Thich Nhat Hanh's formula, and that is where you water the flowers and not the weeds. You pay attention and nurture the states of mind that are wholesome, that lead to the end of suffering. And you withdraw attention from the states of mind that help cause suffering. So that's the Eightfold Path. And it works all the time. No matter what's going on in your life, there's something in this formula, in these instructions for what to do. There is something that will bring you back to being balanced, relating in a way that is good for you and good for others. You know, and maybe it's wise speech. That's a big one. My main point is, your life doesn't have to be going well for the Eightfold Path to help you out, to work. And in fact, for the last month, my life has been nuts. I think the last time I was here, I mentioned that I just got a job. I just got a job for the first time in 23 years. I totally forgot how to do jobs. You know, where you have deadlines and stuff, and you have to do it right, and you have to, like, hand it in. So I'm teaching at a college, and that's irrelevant, but not only haven't I done any kind of job for 23 years, but I've never taught except for the Dharma. I've been teaching the Dharma for somewhere between 15 and 20 years. But you're really paying attention, you know, unlike, you know, college students, a lot of the time. I'm blessed. I have 12 little angels, it turns out, who are really paying attention and working hard. But you can't count on that. At any rate, I really don't know anything about what I'm doing. And I was hired like 3 weeks before classes started. So I had to find the textbook, read it, start creating slideshows. The classes are 4 hours long. Anyway, I was insanely busy. And just as I was beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel, my wife's father passed away. So there was the emotional turmoil, and then having to, you know, arrange to go for the funeral. And I mean, we've all been through it before, but it was right in the middle of, I didn't have time to wear a hat. So, and I've got a neurological condition that's really, really sensitive to stress. So I've been crazy. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. Because in the middle of the craziness, when the body was telling me in many ways that I was under too much stress, and I didn't want to go along with a lot of what was happening. There was a lot of aversion. There was a lot of craving for something else. There was a kind of gyroscope inside of me that knew that what was making me crazy, what was causing me suffering, was just something that had arisen and would pass away. And this gyroscope, with all the insane movement that was going on around it, was in balance. It was steady. And I, even though the body was tense, the mind was tense, there was something in my bedrock core being that was just fine. And it was a very clear illustration to me of how the Eightfold Path works. A lot of it had to do with the wisdom aspect that I just remembered, that what the nature of suffering is, and that the intention is to let go of it. Let go of what's causing that suffering. And a lot of it was the practice. But I'll tell you, the ethics really helped me out, because I'm also not above, you know, acting stuff out or saying things that are, you know, that I regret later. It happens. But during this month, it was remarkable how much grief the Eightfold Path spared me. And particularly in dealing with my wife and her family, because every family has its mishigas, you know? We're all crazy. And I was able to, you know, not have to have an opinion, and certainly not have to express it about the various insanity that was going on. I mean, even about myself, I could be kind of gentle with myself. So, you know, wise speech, and recognizing, okay, that it's going to be expensive to just drop everything and fly across the country, but that was how I wanted to relate economically, was this was definitely the way I wanted my livelihood to be spent in this world. So I think that it was kind of an epiphany for me to see how I could depend on that gyroscope and to not worry about the fact that there was suffering going on, that there was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear, and that I could still be confident underneath all of that, that open and accepted awareness could hold all of my insanity with love, with this sort of pervasive okayness, kind of the way, you know, a mother deals with a child that's lost his or her favorite toy. Yeah, it's unnecessary, but it's what's going on, and it's okay. So I think that's all I have to say about that.